listening to a TJSlideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. It's the week of the Payless Little 500, one of our favorite weeks of the year, one of our favorite races to talk about. So we're going to jump right into it on this edition of the TJ Slideways podcast. Joining us now on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline, a driver that's riding a real hot streak into the Little 500 this weekend, winning two must-see racing events over the weekend and will be one of the favorites going into Anderson Speedway on Saturday. Brian Gerster joins us on the line. And first off, let's congratulate you on the great weekend, man, sweeping both races in Ohio with must-see racing.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. The Ram Engineering 50 car that we run with the must-see series, we had a pretty good weekend when we went to the Carolinas to start the season, but we didn't get a win, and so we were pretty determined to try to come back and see if we couldn't get a victory here this past weekend in Ohio, and we were fortunate enough to get two of them.
And I don't think you could get victories at two more different racetracks than the two you raced at with Shady Bowl and over at Mansfield.
Yeah, the Shady Bowl, for anybody that's been there, knows, you know, kind of what we're talking about. But if you've never been to that racetrack, it's a really unique little racetrack. It's actually really racy, though. I've run a midget there. That was the first time I've run a wing sprint car at that place. And, we had a really good night. The guys worked really, really hard on the car, and we weren't as good as we needed to be when we unloaded, but we kept chipping away at it. And, we started sixth and had some pretty good race cars that we had to get by to get out front. So we're pretty proud of that one. The car was good and got that done. And then Mansfield's just kind of a nice, big, fast half mile. So it's a lot different. You know, Shady Bowl's is kind of a tight bull ring with some hills and up and down and different things like that. So two different racetracks. It's nice versatility to be able to get a win at both of them for our team. So it was a good deal.
And now you get a third challenge. You're going into Wednesday night with the Musty Racing Series over at Anderson Speedway. And running the winged car at Anderson's a different animal as well, and the tight confines there. A lot of the room you have with the non-winged car during the Little 500 seems to disappear for that race.
Yeah, it does for sure. We're actually not going to take the 50 car to the wing race on Wednesday night, but we've run it several times in the year that we've run for the point championship with the national part of the Musty series. We've run that race and it's always really a challenge. I mean, the cars are so fast and kind of track position is really key there. And sometimes you can get into some lap traffic and kind of, maybe the guy you're racing with chooses the wrong spot and you can slip by somebody, but it's really tough there. So it's a lot different than kind of the way a non-wing race goes or where the Little 500 goes. So for us, me particularly this week, it's just all about focusing on Little 500 and trying to take care of my 27 car. That's I'm part ownership in that, as well as a whole bunch of other guys. So, the Winchester Furniture Showroom Jetstar 27 is the focus for us this week, and we'll see if we can't have a good 500 come next Saturday.
See, that's why you listen to the TJ Slideways podcast. Even I learn things in the middle of this sometimes with Brian Gerster. For focusing on the non-wing effort this week for the Payless Little 500, let's talk about that race for a moment. You kind of were because of your midget racing endeavors, you were down the road a bit at IRP most of the time. You kind of got what I consider a late start going over to Anderson. You didn't even get a chance to race one until 2008. How did the opportunity to finally compete in it come about?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the night before the 500 with the USAC National Midget Series was just such a huge deal down at IRP. And, things change, and that became, less and less of an event that we were wanting to participate in. And rides became harder to come by. So, we had a circumstance with our midgets program that we were running. Half of the partnership in that deal kind of retired from the sport, and the other half stayed in the sport, and that's Dan Davis, who is the Winchester Furniture Showroom guy out of Winchester, Indiana. So he's kind of a pavement guy at heart, and we've been working out of the 6R shop here in Zionsville near Indianapolis, and Daryl Gaducci was kind enough to kind of help partner a little bit with us on that program as well. So, between my dad and myself and Dan and Daryl, we put the program together when the midget program went away to start doing a pavement sprint car. So that's back when USAC was still running some pavement and stuff like that with sprint cars. So you know, we kind of transitioned away from the midget stuff and into the pavement sprint car, and then that led us to, you know, where we had those Saturday nights before the Indy 500. We had those off, so we started doing the little 500. So we did get a late start. You know, we've been fortunate enough that we've had some pretty good runs up there. Got a third place finish a few years ago, and we're pretty proud of that. But every year we go, we learn something, and it's a nice deal for us. I mean, it's a really good group of guys that own the car and help us out with it. And I still get to go racing with my dad since we got started doing that with go-karts way back in 1984. So it's a once-a-year deal, and we can stay focused on it and keep that car prepped just for that race. So it's a big week for us that, you know, really is the culmination of a year's worth of preparation.
Brian Gerster joining us, talking about the Payless Little 500 this Saturday at the Anderson Speedway. How eye-opening was that race the first time you saw it or participated in it?
It was huge. I mean, the first time that I actually had the opportunity to participate in it was from a crew perspective. There was a time, you know, prior to my involvement in being a driver with a midget and stuff like that, it was probably, I think, the first year that Donnie Adams Sr. Ran that race. So, you know, this is long before Donnie Adams Jr., right? So I raced go-karts with Donnie Adams, you know, a long time ago when we were go-kart racing. And Steve Barth and myself, you know, were able to, we were the refueling guys on Donnie Adams' car the first year he was there because we were both just on the verge of getting started midget racing and we had fire suits and helmets and everything, so we figured we'd be the fueling guys. So got to be a part of that race the first time I ever saw it, you know, as a crew member for Donnie Adams. And then, you know, it wasn't long right there after that that we became busy, you know, racing and doing the night before the 500 stuff ourselves. So then you fast forward quite a few years till when we finally got to go back and be a participant, you know, from a driving perspective. And, you know, from a driver's point of view, it's a completely unique race. You know, you've got it. There's two races. One, to try to get yourself qualified as well as you can so you can, you know, try to get as far forward and stay out of trouble early in the race. But then the other piece of it's just surviving 500 laps and being aggressive when you need to be, but trying not to be very aggressive. Be patient, get through the traffic and the race and try to keep everything in one piece and then, you know, see where you're at the end. But the competition is so tough and the field has gotten so competitive that, you know, it's a real challenge because you've got to try to run fairly hard or else you're not going to be able to compete for the win. But yet you got to be careful that you don't put yourself in bad positions and get yourself knocked out, you know. And we've kind of done a little bit of both. We've done okay at staying out of trouble, and then we've gotten caught up in some stuff a couple times, and as everyone does. I mean, if you run that race very often, it seems like maybe, you know, Eric Gordon and Bentley Warren and Bob Fry and a few of those people seem to stay out of the messes quite a bit. But, you know, everybody else that's ever done it, you know, you get wrapped up in something every once in a while. So it's quite a challenging race. It's unique. The fans love it. It's a big event, you know, and it's something really cool. Anderson Speedway is only about 20 minutes up the road from where I live here in Fishers, Indiana. So it's a good week for us. It's a big race, and the whole family can come out and see it. And, you know, we get to sleep in our own bed every night. So, you know, if you're going to run, you're going to have a car and run one race a year, you might as well run the biggest one. And that's what we do with our sprint car program.
Brian, you've spotted for different people in some of these longer stock car races, CRA events and whatnot. How do those events, do you think, compare to what happens at the Little 500 for fans that might be more stock car oriented? You've spotted a lot of those things. Are there any similarities, or because of the push truck pit stop nature of the race, is it way different?
You know what? You know, so I've never spotted, I've never spotted the Little 500 for anybody, but I will say that I've spotted one Indy 500, so I'm kind of proud of that. I was a spotter for Donnie Beachler, I think in 2000, so that's pretty cool. But you're right, I've done a lot of late model spotting, and that's allowed me the opportunity to meet a lot of the late model people and the guys that do spotting and that. So the past few 500s, I've had a couple of different guys that have spotted for me, but they're two of the best late model spotters, you know, in the country. And I've been really fortunate because of those relationships. And both of them have told me that spotting the Little 500 is absolutely the most challenging race that they've worked. So it's just, there's a lot going on. I've spotted CRA late model races, you know, where there's 20 cars at Anderson, and spotting a late model race when the cars are going, you know, a second and a half slower, and there's only about, you know, two-thirds as many out there is a super challenge. So I can't imagine what it'd be like to have to spot the races. Bad enough driving, if I think spot, it's probably worse. So, you know, Jonathan Martin's my spotter, and, you know, he's probably got his hands more full than I do coming up Saturday night, but I'm sure we'll be okay.
Brian Gerster joining us with some great insight on the Payless Little 500. One more thing to touch on that everyone always talks about the Little 500 is the start. And from a driver's perspective, how do you approach going into the tight confines of Anderson Speedway, three abreast, 11 rows deep? How do you approach that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that people might find funny is that it's actually, you've got to really, really pay attention just lining up for the darn race. You know, it's, you always see a great picture of the perfect 11 rows of three and all that in the program and on the internet and everything like that. And, you know, and the officials there at the Speedway are pretty adamant about making sure everybody's packed up tight and we get a really good picture. So, you know, just rolling around there slow, three wide, is pretty challenging trying to get a nice picture for the next year's cover of the program. But, you know, once you start rolling and try to get sifted down into the first turn, you know, everybody does it. We all talk to the people that are around us and we're aware of, you know, kind of the personalities and the habits of the guys that we're starting next to and stuff. And we're all pretty, you know, we have a lot of conversation before the race about just trying to help each other out the best we can, but not give up too much track position. And so, you know, getting lined up is about as challenging as it is just starting the race. But as soon as we get rolling, you can at least tell that everyone's, you know, pretty keen on trying to at least get to where we're too wide before too much happens down in the first corner. And then as soon as you can get single file, that's a good thing. But like I mentioned earlier, if you're very far back and you've had a bad qualifying effort, you got to be real careful about being too complacent because, you know, the leader will be on you trying to lap you in 20 laps. And then the next thing you know, you're down a lap and, you know, the rest of the night is an uphill battle. So that's where the patience comes in of, you know, picking off the guys you can get and then and not being too aggressive and getting yourself in trouble.
Well, Brian, I know you have a great effort. It's a once a year effort, and as you mentioned, a family effort and partners and stuff, and I'm sure you have people to thank.
Yeah, you know, for sure. You know, like I said, my dad, Dan Davis over there at Winchester Furniture Showroom, and Gerald Gaducci with Jetstar, Randy Steen Merchant and Image Express. You know, those guys are kind of key partners in this deal. You know, Dick Myers with the Ram Engineering Program, you know, we're in the house car on the wing side of it, but he puts together our shock program for that, and Simpson Race Products and Butler Built Seats and Landrum Springs, you know, all those guys weld wheels. Everyone kind of pitches in, and, you know, we've been around long enough that, you know, we've developed some great relationships with, you know, Will Wood and manufacturers that supply parts and pieces that help us out a little bit here and there, but it's the big players like Jetstar and Winchester Furniture Showroom that help put the cash on the table so we can go out and, you know, buy a bunch of tires and, you know, spend our money all this week, but we save up all year long, and, you know, it's kind of like the family vacation. You know, we put money in the piggy bank all year long, and then we crack it open tonight and we'll go spend it all week.
There you go. Well, Brian, hopefully we're doing this 1 week from today, because that means you'll have drank the victory milk and sat in victory lane if we're talking to you 1 week from today.
Man, that would be awesome. I mean, you know, there probably isn't any chance we're ever going to win the Indy 500. So in my opinion, the next best thing is to win the Little 500. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can, see what happens. You know, you got to be fast and you got to have a lot of luck. So we'll just go up there and absolutely do our best and see what happens. And I'm pretty sure, you know, win, lose, or draw, we'll go up there and do it again in 2017. So we'll just we'll keep digging and see what happens. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian, for your time. Appreciate it. We'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, more talk about the Payless Little 500. Stay tuned.
Looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
The must-see Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit mustseeracing.com.
Welcome back to the TJSlideways.com podcast. Next up on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline is your defending champion of the Payless Little 500 and two-time winner, Chris Windham, joining us on the line. And Chris, thank you for taking time out of a very busy week for you to join us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
First of all, what does your schedule this week look like outside of the Little 500? How active are you going to be through the whole week?
I'm going to be pretty busy. We are on track tomorrow for practice for the Little 500, and then Wednesday again with practice during the day. Then we run Terre Haute in the dirt sprint car Wednesday night. Qualify Little 500 Thursday afternoon, run the Hoosier 100 at the Indy Mile Thursday night, and then we run pavement Silver Crown race Friday at IRP, and then Saturday Little 500, and then probably go to Kokomo Sunday.
That's not a bad week of work for you, though. That'll be a lot of fun, assuming all those go well. Now, of all those events, the most unique one, of course, being on Saturday. Is there anything you do differently to prepare for a Little 500 week compared to maybe like Sprint Week or any other busy week during the year?
I don't know if you can really prepare for 500 laps around Anderson. It seems like it's just as tough every year when I think I'm more prepared for it, but. And just as much as physically, you got to be mentally prepared to be able to concentrate for that long and stay calm and hit your marks for 500 laps around a quarter mile.
Chris Windham joining us. Of course, you've done it twice now. You did it once in a family-owned car, and then also for Jason Gocher last year. How much did it mean to get a win for someone like Jason, who owns a car and grew up going to the race and wanted that win so badly?
It was a really cool moment. I know it was very special for them. Jason's been trying to win that race for a lot of years, and it was pretty cool. I had already won one, but second one was just as special. But it was pretty cool to be able to be in victory lane with guys that pour their heart and soul into a race like that, and it was just cool to be able to see all their smiling faces and how happy it made him for the rest of the year.
And one thing your two victories have in common, neither one of them came very easy, because you've had to be Eric Gordon to get one of them, and then you had Dave Steele and Kyle Hamilton all over you last year.
Yeah, the last 50 laps, I had to bear down, and I don't know if I could have lasted if I wasn't leading that race. I think I had a little extra boost of adrenaline kick in, and I felt Steele give me a bumper going into the corner, and I just had to concentrate as hard as I could, and I had a really good spotter with Jason McCord trying to guide me through there, and he told me, you got to pick it up a little bit, Steele's on you. So, you know, they had a really good last pit stop, and we got four fresh tires, and we had a really good run the last 100 laps of the race.
Chris Windham, your defending Payless Little 500 champion, joining us on the line. For a driver, what's the most enjoyable aspect of that race, and which part of it do you feel as a driver is the most difficult?
And I would say obviously the most enjoyable is just being in victory lane after a grueling 500 laps, but you know, it's a lot of luck comes into it also, so it's just difficult. Most difficult thing is trying to keep your nose clean for that many laps, because you're basically in lap traffic 10 laps into the race, and you don't get out of it for the next 490 laps. So, you know, just trying to watch out in front of you, having obviously a good spotter, and just trying to hit your marks and be smooth. It's not definitely not about who can go out and run a sprint and be the fastest car. You have to maintain your speed and hopefully have good pit stops, and you know, just try to hit your marks for 500 laps.
As a driver, what do you like to hear from a spotter? Are you a guy that likes your spotter talking to you quite a bit, or are you kind of on a need-to-know basis? Just let me know the basics, and I'll get the rest of it done.
I'd say I'm in between, but if I had to go one way or the other, I'd say just the basics. I don't need a lot of talking. I mean, you pretty much know when you've got a car inside or outside of you there. So, you know, just someone that can point out anything that I would probably need to know is what I prefer.
Of course, there's the race to get into the race, qualifying, which is a completely different animal, too. How difficult are those four laps to get qualified in at Anderson?
They're very difficult. You gotta try to go as hard and fast as you can, but also be as smooth as you can, because it's obviously the four-lap average and not just about one lap like normal qualifying would be. So it's definitely a different animal trying to attack it as hard as you can for four laps and be able to also stay consistent.
Have you found that winning this race brings a little bit of different notoriety to you? Do people mention it when you travel around the country?
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm on a dirt schedule probably 75% of the year. So I get people that, watched it on TV or came to watch it, and definitely get a lot of notoriety for it all over the country, wherever we go.
And, you know, how did you and Jason Gocher hook up? Because he's had a variety of people in his car over the years, some pretty big names, and you're the one that won it for him. So how did you two get hooked up?
We actually got hooked up, I think, the year before. This was the second year I ran for him after the year we won. So the first year, I actually think Clausen was slated to drive his car, and then he switched and wanted to run Hoffman's car. So Jason called me and asked if I'd be interested in running it, and I said yeah, certainly. So, you know, that was a fun phone call to get, and we went out. We had a really good first year too. We got caught up in a crash and came back second year and got the win.
Yeah, and of course now. You know, it's one of those races that you have to put quite a bit of effort in to go to with the pit stops and everything. How did you first wind up running it? Because it's, a lot of people go and ran the midget race before or whatnot, and you're doing a lot of USAC stuff still. Well, you still do, but we're doing a lot of USAC stuff back when you first started running it. How did it the opportunity present itself to start running the Little 500?
Well, I think it was back still when we had family-owned cars, and they were running a lot of USAC pavement sprint car races. So we had a pavement car, you know, ready to go. And we had Jack French actually helping us on the pavement car. And he obviously won that race multiple times with Eric Gordon. So it was, I think probably he was the one that suggested it and sounded like it'd be a fun race to go run. And that was how we got into it.
It's always an interesting story how you get into this. Well, Chris, I'm sure you have some people to thank that make this week possible as well.
Yeah, definitely. I got to thank Jason Gocher and all the guys. I mean, all those guys have regular jobs that come in and help us, and we have a great pit crew. They did a great job for us last year, so I just want to thank all them for last year's win. I don't know if I got a chance to even talk to them about how busy of a schedule that was, but definitely want to thank all them, and Jeff Claxton helps us on the engines, and you know, everybody else that gives Jason support. So,
and I can attest to his busy schedule, because Chris and I literally did the victory interview as he's walking back to his pit area. We kind of did it in stride. I'm like, we can do this. We'll just walk and talk and do it at the same time. Well, hopefully, Chris, we're walking and talking at the end of Saturday. That would be definitely a good thing for both of us.
I sure hope so.
All righty. Chris, well, congratulations on last year. Best of luck this week, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
All right, Chris Windham, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Little 500 when we come back. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Podcast.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
The must-see Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit mustseeracing.com.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Podcast. We're going to take a break for a moment from the Little 500 chat. One of the best stories of the weekend we had is one of our friends of the website, Dan McCarron, picked up his first feature victory at Fremont Speedway. He has one career victory before that in sod competition up at the Merritt Speedway, but he picked up a 305 feature win at Fremont Speedway. And Dan, you might be one of the first Michigan guys to ever win a 305 race down there, as far as I know. But congratulations on the victory.
Thanks, TJ. Thank you.
Well, and I say Michigan loosely, you're kind of a stone's throw over the border, practically. If you were about 10 miles south, you'd be in Buckeye country.
Yeah. Dundee's only about, we're about 13 minutes, I think, from the Ohio border, but definitely still from Michigan, and not planning on changing it.
There you go. Let's talk about Saturday and how everything happened. First of all, you got out in front. Tell us how you did get the lead.
Luckily, drew the pole, and that's the way the luck works. Actually, Friday night at Attica, we ended up raining out, not running that feature, but my crew guy drew the 12. So luckily, the next night he draws the 1 and averages it all out. So drew the pole and got out to a good start, and just kept running. When you know who's behind you, you just can't slow down.
I was going to ask you, the finish is on the internet. We've actually retweeted it if you haven't seen it yet. If you check our Twitter account, at TJ Slideways, you'll see it on there. And Nate Dussel was coming. At what point did you know he was behind you?
I didn't. We had a restart, I think, with 6 to go. And I believe Bobby Clark was actually behind me at that point. And it doesn't really matter who's behind you down there. They're all coming. They're all fast. And I never saw another car or anybody until coming off of turn 4. I heard someone underneath me look down, saw his nose wing, and we weren't lifting. I mean, it was just on from there. And luckily, 0.01 seconds.
At what point did you know you had won? Because you crossed the finish line, you were side by side, you knew you were. Did they come over the one way and tell you, or did it take a moment for them to tell you you had won?
They told us down the backstretch, and it was kind of delayed. They said 22M to the front stretch. It was, they were making sure that they had it right and telling people where to go. So.
What is that moment like from turn 1 to the backstretch when you don't know?
It was pretty unbelievable, because especially leading every lap until then, I went, oh man, did I just give that away? And I don't know how many opportunities I'll have to do that, especially the track like Fremont. And I said, did I really just give that away? Because it was that close. I mean. You couldn't have known. It was that close at the finish line.
And afterwards, what was it like when you got out the car on the front straightaway at Fremont Speedway?
Unreal. It's something. You go to the track every weekend saying we're here to win, and we prepare every week to win. We just struggled at Fremont the entire time we've been down there. Changed up some stuff last week pretty drastically, and got there and just had balance in the car for the first time. And just quick all night, and I knew we had a shot starting on the pole, but it was, once you take the checkered, it's something else.
And I had mentioned on your Facebook page that if you had told me this 10 years ago that you were going to win that race at Fremont, I might have kind of looked at you a little funny, but man, you have worked so hard for this, and that's one reason I wanted to have you on. What do you think has made the biggest difference for you? At some point in the past year and a half or so, did something click? Or did, because you've dramatically improved over the past 2 seasons. What is it that got you going? I almost want to say it was almost like a light switch effect. I know it wasn't. It was a lot of hard work beyond that. But what was it that really clicked, that really got you going good?
We switched cars. We switched cars 2 years ago, and that was, a big deal down here. The J&Js are real fast. Got some help from the guys down here that run them. And last year or 2 years ago was the year that I ran my first full season. We ran, I think 40, 41 or 42 races, and track time, seat time, just getting laps, running mid-pack, having to race with guys that are really fast. It's just everything. You just, every night you show up down here, there's 10 guys who can win the feature, if not more, and you can be running for 12th or 15th and be racing with the guy who won the feature last week. That's the biggest difference, is that if you're going to show up and make these races, you need to be on all night.
And with the mix of veterans and young stars that are in that division, it's just as tough as the 410 division some nights.
Oh, definitely. The 410 and the 410s down here, are those guys are great. But when you look at, like you said, young guys, old guys, Bobby Clark, Kyle Capodice, Jordan Ryan, that's up in the 410s now, and Nate Dussel, who was in the 305s, went up to the 410s, won a race, and now he's running 305s again. Everyone's got a lot of experience. Everyone has a ton of laps. And luckily, it's a lot of close, hard, clean racing. everyone races each other hard, but it's not a lot of wrecking each other and that. So you just trust each other, run as hard as you can, and it's just a lot of talent down here.
Well, Dan, I'm sure you have some people to thank that made Saturday possible for you.
Yeah, for my wife is at everything we do. I mean, she's in the garage all week, helping me wash the car, maintenance the car. She knows how to do everything. She spends as much time and money as anybody, I mean, it could on a race car. So she is the rock behind everything on this team. And then my crew guy, Blake Smith, every night is a huge help. You know, my dad and my sister are usually there. They weren't Saturday, but they're usually there to support. And then sponsors, Timken, XYZ Machining, All-Star Performance, Vortex Wings, Simpson, Schoenfeld, Rod and Supply, you know, people who just help out with some parts and help keeping this a little bit more affordable.
And young racers, I can tell you for a fact, he can ramble that off his top of his head because he's out and about right now running errands. So Dan McCarron joining us on the line. Dan, congratulations on Saturday. When, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, we've got to have him on the podcast this week and talk this thing over. Congratulations. And hopefully you do it a few more times so we can do this again.
Yeah, hopefully we can carry this on and pick up a couple more here.
All right, Dan McCarron, your 305 Sprint Car winner last Saturday at the Fremont Speedway. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the Sprints on Dirt event Friday at Hartford Speedway. You're listening to the TJ Sideways Podcast.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit RaceMaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on RaceMaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
The must-see Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit mustseeracing.com.
Welcome back to the TJ Sideways Podcast. Last Friday, had the opportunity to finally go to a racetrack where it was not raining. That was kind of a novel concept. And we went and saw the Sprints on Dirt event, had kind of a family race night. There weren't a lot of updates throughout the evening on our social media channels. Took the whole family out to Hartford, just kind of did some post-race coverage, but we really didn't do the social stuff. Kind of did the family race night thing over there and had a really good time. I'd love to thank the Dibble family for having us out. It was a great time over at Hartford. And it was interesting because it mixed two different things together on Friday night. The new Hartford configuration, the racetrack has been brought in all the way just outside the light poles. So it's almost a full width and a half, I would guess, swagging a little bit just visually, about a car width and a half down into the infield. If you go to our Facebook page for tjslideways.com, we put up a pair of photos so you can get a comparison of turns 3 and 4, how much wider it was. It's become since last season, and it's actually a little closer probably when it first opened. You used to be able to race the bottom there quite a bit, and what it did seem to do and is make the bottom line a little more even with the top, especially through 3 and 4. Turns 1 and 2 still had some choppy spots from a lot of the really nice clay they've laid down on that racetrack. No goggles all night at Hartford. It was a great deal. But we turn 1 and 2 had a little bit of choppiness down that bottom side. But once they get that rolled in, I think we'll see it become more like what turns 3 and 4 is, where you can rip around the top, or the bottom has shortened the distance enough where it's a viable line. And in the heat races, we saw Ryan Rule and Brad Lamberson running together side by side. It was pretty impressive. It was also the first race for the Engine Pro Sprints on Dirt presented by ARP on their new rules package. No engine rule, no weight rule, and that narrower tire. First off, visually, it didn't really look that much different. I mean, it, you know, from the outside, it doesn't look like the car's winged down maybe as hard on those tires as they do, but you see the pictures from the infield and the cars are still squatting down just the way they were. They drive maybe a hair straighter coming off. Yeah, at least Ryan Rule did. And really, though, when it came down to it, you really couldn't tell the difference visually. It basically looked the same. Some great side-by-side racing. Rule just dominating that event with his 360, with the mix of 410s and 360s, to have Rule's 360 win that race. And that's a stout 360, but still, he's giving up some weight advantage there, and some of the newer 410s probably a horsepower advantage, and it was a very interesting deal. He was the one guy, though, on the top that was just owning it up on the fence, and it's amazing. He's going to be a favorite going into this weekend, probably at Eldora on Sunday night if they decide to go down there. I could see them doing very, very well there on Sunday. That is going to be very much in his wheelhouse. And it's gotten to the point where those big fast places, Rule just puts on the fence and lets it eat. It would have been interesting. Brad Lamberson did have engine problems in the heat race. He was pretty able to hang with Rule. They were sliding each other back and forth in a great heat race battle. I think that would have continued into the feature. It would have been really interesting had they had not run into engine problems. But overall, if you had told me a 360 was going to win at that place, that's the one place where I didn't think that rule package was going to work. And it did. And you've got two sides of it right now. You got the side that's going, oh, two weekends in or two races in, it works. It's great. And you have some people that are still a little more on the negative side. I'm still kind of more on the, I think it worked the first weekend, but I still want a larger data sampling. I want to see what more races look like, some more cars and stuff, and just see how it plays out. And mainly it's because I'm kind of a conservative nature person. I like to have as much data at my hands as possible. And to me, I've said all along, this thing is going to really look differently about June. You know, that's where we're going to know where we kind of stand, is what I figure. By the end of June, we should have a pretty good idea. Some people have some races on the tires, and we'll kind of know where everything sits out. And coming into the second Crystal event in July, that's going to be, you know, late June, that mid-July race there. That's where you're really going to say, okay, here's what we have. But I think they're onto something there. That tire is kind of interesting. It seems like you can spin it if you have too much power, but it plays into the smaller engine's hands a little bit. You're a little less likely to spin it. And it actually seems to work. And, you know, it was an intriguing but kind of scary proposition when I first heard about it at Hartford last year in the fall. Because, I mean, it takes something that's worked for a while, and it seems to be working now. And to go this route for that series is very remarkable. And we'll have to see how it plays out through the whole year, but so far they seem to be accomplishing what they want to do with that tire and the rules package. So kudos to them. Like I said, I was wrong. I didn't think it would ever happen at Hartford, but Ryan Rule proved me wrong. We did have a chance to talk to the top three. First off, Steve Irwin, your third place finisher. First wing start in quite a while for Steve at Hartford. And here's what he had to say following that event.
Steve, solid third place finish. Had quite a race going with Stein back there for the position.
Yeah, I mean, we were both trying to run the low deal, and it was real rough down on the bottom. And if I was a little bit more seasoned with the wing stuff and not running non-wing for 5 years in a row, I needed to run above the holes and just run around more on the top. But we were fast in the heat race on the bottom, so I stuck on the bottom probably too long. It's a good way. We're going to run for the championship, so third in points. And I think Brian Smith run for the championship, so we only got one spot in front of us. So it'll be a good deal all year.
What did you think of the reconfiguration? It did have some character, one and two, but it looked like three and four raced really well.
Well, yeah, I mean, my only experience here with the wing was like 10 years ago when I won a 410 feature here about 10 years ago. And I drove in the turn one in the heat race and took the lead on the first lap and drove like how I drove it back then. And that was kind of my hope, is that you could kind of run the bottom and kind of turn this place. You know, I talked to Tim over the wintertime, the owner of the track, and I said, you need to try to turn this place into Williams Groves where you can run the bottom and run the top and make a good race out of it. And I think he did a good job, other than getting it rough down there, but he's trying to put good clay on the bottom and it just got rough and our winter's been screwed up. So I don't blame him for that. So he'll get it all run in. This is the first night, and it'll get a lot better.
And yeah, you know, I have to agree with Steve there. It's pretty much the deal there with the winter and stuff. Kind of expect they put a lot of clay on that place, and they took the infield in, like I said, car width and a half all the way around it. It's a pretty major reconfiguration. You'd probably think, okay, those concrete blocks move in the infield and whatnot. How much work could it really be? I can tell you by talking to staffers at the racetrack, it was a lot more work than anybody anticipated to widen out the Hartford Motor Speedway. So Steve Irwin, your third place finisher. Second place was Fremont, Ohio's own Brian Smith, who's also not only competing for the Sprints on Dirt Championship this year, but Rookie of the Year honors. And going into the night, Hartford being a big racetrack, Brian had never been there before. Big racetracks, not exactly Brian's forte always, mainly budgetarily. They have a very, very small budget team. And they were just kind of hoping to get out of there with the top 10, and definitely exceeded expectations, not only with the second place finish on Friday, but winning Saturday's feature at the Butler Motor Speedway. Here's what Brian had to say following his second place finish Friday at Hartford.
All right. Well, Brian, first visit to Hartford, a solid second place finish to end the night.
Yeah, we came in here knowing that 16 car Ryan Rule was going to be the car to beat. I was all right with that. We beat him in the dash. I took that, took a little joy in that, and he just got up on top and left us in the feature. But we'll take second and go on to Butler tomorrow.
It looked like you had maybe one opportunity there. You did close in on him in traffic, but unfortunately the hole just opened up.
Yeah, you know, he's probably good here in traffic. He's ran quite a bit here, so I wasn't real sure of myself still. I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what these tires were going to do, so I was still taking it easy, you know, kind of riding around through the middle instead of getting up on top and gassing it up. But like I say, we'll take second. It's good for us.
And for someone that came in earlier in the night just expecting a top 10, hopefully to get out here, good start to the season, considering you are running for Rookie of the Year here at Sprints on Dirt.
Yeah, I am. It's going to be kind of fun. You know, I think we're doing all right now. We're probably leading that deal, but I just want to be able to get through this season, and hopefully we can make all the races and everything goes good, and that starts again back up tomorrow.
And Brian Smith following that up with a spectacular last lap pass of Doug Zimmerman to win on Saturday, your current Sprints on Dirt point leader after two events. And it was very interesting to see that. And one of the things that Brian and I talked about as well is there was some engine problems there for some cars, which is kind of rare, first race of the year to see at Hartford, but had several cars with engine issues. But we were surprised how many RPMs a lot of guys were trying to turn. And Brian said that one of his things that he did, they just put a lower gear in the car. They knew that they had to survive, and they just wanted to turn the car about 7,200 RPM. And he was even lifting going into the course just to make sure they could get through it. Pays off for Brian with a second place finish. Well, Ryan Rule is quickly becoming one of the brightest stars of the Great Lakes State Sprint Car scene. A dominating performance on Friday night, lapping up the fourth place, inches away from Hartford's unforgiving concrete. It seemed like every lap. And Ryan Rule's one of those guys that going around Hartford, he could go around Hartford by himself for 20 laps. And I think you'd probably get a couple thousand people that'd pay to watch it. It's that good. Here's what Rule had to say following his feature victory Friday at Hartford.
Ryan, impressive performance this evening. Good run right around the top of the racetrack, man. You had that thing hooked up.
Yeah, the car was awesome. I didn't know what to expect with the tires and everything and the track being reconfigured, but it was pretty, we did the same thing we always do, and it was pretty close right off the bat, and Terry's awesome at just getting that thing to do whatever I tell him.
And, you know, you're so good around the top here. They may have shortened the bottom of the racetrack, but they didn't obviously change your line very much, and you just took off right up on the fence and let her eat pretty much.
Yeah, that was kind of the plan anyways. I was assuming I would just go to the top because it's treated me so well over the years. And in one and two, it was pretty chopped up through the middle, so I was glad I could, go up top and stay out of that stuff.
Did it drive much different compared to the previous configuration?
No, the track felt pretty close to the same. I didn't go to the bottom too much at all to really see what that felt like. The tires were a little different than what it used to be, but yeah, I guess we got it figured out for here at least.
You said the first thing you said when you got out of the car was you were surprised. Why were you so surprised?
Well, just because this track is huge, I figured any more motor would definitely help anybody out here. So yeah, when we were keeping up with the 410s and hot laps, I thought maybe we got a shot.
And I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Oh yeah, I got to thank Terry. He makes this thing awesome to drive. I got to thank my dad. He works his ass off on this thing all week. And my girlfriend, she works on this a ton too, and lets me take all the time to do all this racing.
All right, Ryan Rule.
And congratulations to Ryan Rule. Spectacular win on Friday night, and great start to their season over at the Sprints Under. And of course, Rule will be going down with the GLSS series, kind of in support of the National Racing Alliance, not an official co-sanction, but they're going to go down there and run those three races, and be interesting to see how he fares there over the Memorial Day weekend. So that wraps up our coverage from the Hartford Speedway Friday night. Of course, once again, thanks to the Dibble family. Great. Two of the nicest people that we deal with all year, and they are doing some remarkable stuff. That was a huge crowd there on Friday night. That's a very long grandstand. I'd say it was probably half to three quarters full, and just by eyeballing it, and man, it was just awesome. And just little things when you go there. The concession stand, didn't have to wait in line. Food is hot. They're moving people in and out. Restrooms were clean. Just lots of neat things there. There's a lot of really good things coming to Hartford. Luckily for us, being only an hour and 10 minutes away, lots of big sprint car racing coming up later in the year. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. I want to thank Brian Gerster, Chris Windham, Dan McCarron for joining us, and of course, all of our people that talked to us after the race at Hartford on Friday night. It's Payless Little 500 week. We are going to be at Anderson Speedway on Saturday afternoon. And of course, we will be back here next Monday, Memorial Day. We will be working right here, and we're going to discuss the ins and outs of this year's Payless Little 500. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.